Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so that we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the word with us.
I got to start with four things that are in common with those that are living the Zoe life. What ministered to me as I was hearing Melanie talk about these last week. And so if you didn't get these four, I'm repeating them for you so that you make sure and get them, because this identifies those that are living Zoe, the God kind of life. Number one, their roots grow down deep into the soil of God's love. You can know someone is in the God kind of life when their roots are deep into the soil of God's love. It's just their foundation. Number two, they're focused on the lesson to be learned, the growth to be gained, the focus on future, not the past, forgetting what is behind, and I press on. See, we've got so many Christians that can't let go of anything. That's not living the Zoe life. You've got to let that past go and move forward into what God has for you. Number three, they forgive quickly and move on. Not holding on to past hurts kind of goes with the second point. But they're sure not letting past failures or someone else's past accusations, things that would have held someone captive, they're not going to have that. They're going to forgive them and they're going to move forward. Let me say it like this. They're going to quit wallowing in the way they were treated by someone. That's someone that lives a Zoe life. Number four, they value relationships over being right. Boy, I tell you, it's hard to work with a staff of people that want to be right all the time. And in our personality of the three pastors of this church, we all are right all the time.
Yep.
But here's what I can tell you about all three of us. We value relationships over that.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's important if you're going to live the Zoe life that you understand the importance of relationships. And if you're not careful, you having the last word and everything that goes on is not going to allow you to walk in what God has for you. So we just refuse to hold a grudge. We refuse to. Come on, did y'all get those?
Yes, they're so good.
I want to go back and preach them all, but Melanie already did. So listen, last week. Here's what I can tell you. All four of these are founded in the love of God. The first point. They're all four founded in the love of God. So we were just going to do 2 weeks of this, and Melanie was just going to end it last week, and she couldn't, and I can't this week. So today, I want you to understand the love of God and what it can do and how you need it in you. I want to talk about His commandment of love. It's the title of my message today, Commandment of Love. And that's out of John 13. And I want to share this new commandment that Jesus gave us under the new covenant in the New Testament. And here's what I want you to know. As I'm teaching this today, I want to challenge you today to not go, oh yeah, I already know all that.
Yeah.
I've had to fight that, my personality. I already know all that. But I want to challenge you to listen with an open heart and receive something about God's love that you may have missed before in some of what was being said here in John 13. For 3 weeks, we've been talking about the love of God and what this new commandment of love looks like under the New Testament. Now we get some of the application of how we apply it in our life even more. John 13, verse 34. It says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other." Melanie started this out last week, and I'm going to continue it this week. You cannot love each other unless you know just how He's loved you. So for the last 3 weeks, we've talked about his love for us. Last week, we talked a little bit more of the how. You cannot talk about love in today's world without being specific about what you're talking about. And so I'm not going to go back and reteach the last 3 weeks, but just know this, love means so many different things to so many different people, so it's descriptive of so many things, sometimes it's descriptive of nothing. And we've got to make sure that we understand we're talking about a God kind of love. We've been commanded to love each other with the same kind of love that Jesus loved us with. Matthew 22, verse 37 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And then it goes on a couple verses later in 39, it says, and then it says, and love your neighbor as yourself. Two greatest commandments for the Christian life is for you to love God. And that's sometimes a little easier than loving your neighbor. Because when you start understanding that you didn't deserve his love, but he gave it, and he acted upon it, then it's like, okay, God, I love you. I love you because you made a way for me to spend eternity with you. I love you because you've given me some instruction on how I can live life here on planet Earth. So I've tried some of your promises out. They're true. They've worked for me. I think I'll love you. And a lot of times that's kind of as far as the Christian life goes. They don't get much deeper than that. But the Bible says we can't love each other any more than what we receive the love of God in our own lives. We can't love others with that love until we receive that love. See, there's a receiving love bestowed upon us from God, then is allowed for us to bestow that love to someone else. But if we don't get that, if we don't receive God's love, then you're not going to be able to give something you don't have. So you can't give the God kind of love until you've received the God kind of love. Now, again, we've talked all about this, and so I am re-preaching exactly what I've already preached. But you just can't love beyond the love that you've received. And that thought has to be understood. That's why we have to assemble together. There's an anointing of God's word as it goes out, and his word is love. You can't separate it. He loves you with the truth of his word, and he is doing and saying all that he did and said because of a love for you. God so loved the world that he gave. He did something. He moved upon it. And that's why we, as we assemble together under the anointing of God's word, his love is spread. And I mean, it's received, hopefully. Not always. Evangelistic tools in ministry is left out of teaching in evangelistic avenues that you can't love until you've received love. And the world does a really good job of perverting love, or at least a minimum of counterfeiting it, calling things love that are not. They're not love. That's not love. And I just want to be really careful that we communicate God's love correctly here. And we don't deceive anyone in any way, shape, or form with a counterfeit. When you love God's way, the Bible says the world will know that you're his disciples. I want us to love as Jesus has loved us. And this chapter in John 13 begins with the Lord's Supper, and then it starts telling a story about what Jesus did that was something a little new. And he's introducing this new commandment to love one another. Now, this new thing that Jesus did is really a mystery to most Christians. And this is why I started out by saying, I really want you to have an open mind today as you hear about this. See, it goes on to say he was washing his disciples' feet. And as we look at this and we read this, and then we ask, what does it mean? I want to ask you today, do you really get this? And hopefully by the end when I ask that, you'll say yes. It'll be a new understanding. So I ask you today, are we having our feet washed? And are we washing one another's feet? And some of you are going, oh no, this is going to get weird. But you need to hear me out. This is how Jesus modeled and introduced this new commandment of loving one another as he has loved us. Most think today that everything I'm going to say about foot washing, you've heard in a sermon, and you already know, but please, please hear me out. There's some deep spiritual truths that I know God shared with me would be revealed today in a way that maybe you haven't all understood before. John chapter 13, verse 1. Let's start this out. Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. Now, once again, we're reading this, and it's very important that you understand that Jesus is giving his love to his disciples, and he's giving that with the intent that they will be able to love as he loved. And so what he said was, he loved them to the very end. We have to learn to love to the very end. Yeah. Most people's love is very shallow. It's easily terminated. And Jesus was saying, I've loved you guys. God, I've loved who you gave me till the end. I'm not giving up. I'm going to love them to the end. John chapter 13, verse 2. It was time for supper. And the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. Okay, this is Jesus talking. Jesus knew where he came from and he knew where he was going. It'd be a good word for us to hear that today. See, it'd just really help if we all knew that. If we knew where we came from and knew where we were going. You didn't come from your parents, you came through your parents. Now just think about that. God got you here, and no one is sitting here today. No one's sitting here today illegitimate. Regardless of what your parents did, what your parents done, what they did, what they, that may have been illegitimate, but you are not. You came from God, and you will return to God, and that is why you need to be prepared. You came from God, and you're going to return to God, and you need to be prepared for when you return. John 13, verse 4. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, and wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Are you going to wash my feet? I don't know exactly where he emphasized what words. Are you going to wash my feet? Are you going to wash my feet? My feet? I don't know how he said it, but it all says the same thing. It says Peter. That's what it says. Because Peter just had a way of saying things and coming back and saying something to the Lord that he's like, let me explain this once again, Peter. You need to understand some things. But here's what he said, and I think it's very important you get this. Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I'm doing. Jesus would say, please explain it to me. And Peter's saying, please explain it to me. Jesus is saying, you don't understand what I'm doing right now. You don't get what I'm doing. But someday you will. I say that to say there's people here today that don't really understand what was going on there, but hopefully today's the day you will. Someday you'll get this. Someday you'll understand this. We need to see this as way more than just a custom from the day. Now, it was a custom and a common practice in their day, and he's saying, Peter, you're not going to get this right now, but you will. It's a common practice in the community, and I'm just doing something that you're seeing as a common practice, but you're not getting this right now. Jesus, you're washing my feet? Peter's, no, verse 8, no. I don't know if he said it like that. That's the way I kind of envision it. No. Peter protested, "You'll never ever wash my feet. You'll never wash my feet." And we can understand Peter. I mean, this is Jesus. Really? We've been following you and now you're going to wash. This is not, Jesus replied, hey, and he's interacting with Peter here. Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Simon Peter explained, then wash my hands, my head, and well, just here, get after it. I need all of it. Let's have a shower. Let's just, you can hear him just going weird. But we understand that. I get that. In verse 10, Jesus replied, a person who has been bathed all over does not need to wash, except for the feet. To be entirely clean, you're going to have your feet washed. I understand you've washed all over. Jesus said, and you disciples are clean, but not all of you, for Jesus knew who would betray him. That's what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. Church, there's a part of us when we meet Jesus and know in our knower that the new birth is real. The new birth is real. You truly are born again. And it's like you're just born over. It's like I'm a new person. And there's two things that allowed you to be born again, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You came to, so you got new parents, if you will. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I've got a new parent. I got a new understanding. And I've been born again, not of flesh, but I'm born again with a new destiny. That my destiny now is life and life abundant and life everlasting. Life abundant and life everlasting. It's a new life. And boy, I know that. Come on, how many of y'all remember when you were born again? And you just, the excitement about, that wasn't enough. How many of y'all remember when you were born again? Okay, good. I was thinking, man, we need to go to a salvation speech right now. Talking to a bunch of people saved. So you remember the day that you were born again, and it was like there's now new hope. Even though I'm going through this world, I get to go to heaven. I get to learn to sing holy, holy, holy. I get to learn to like it. I mean, there's a lot there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, for you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. You get new life. There's a born-again experience. You're made righteous. You're made holy. A perfect person inside. Your spirit man is exactly what Jesus paid for. And you said, God, I accept your gift that you paid for on my behalf. And now the Bible says I'm an heir. Come, I'm getting more excited than you are. I'm an heir. A joint heir with Jesus. There's an excitement. Totally washed. Did anybody sing that song growing up? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul? Cleansing blood of the Lamb. Were you washed? See, so you get washed, you're clean. But you know, it don't take very long after that washing that you realize there's still a part of you that feels dirty. See, your spirit man's as right as it'll ever be, but there's a part of you connected to the world that needs washed. It's like, okay, I got saved just another day. I got saved 3 years ago, and now I'm not feeling that cleanliness I did the day I was saved. This is what Jesus was talking about. Now, I don't need to clean all of you. You're saved. But I got to clean the area that was in contact with the world.
So good.
The feet. I just saw a revelation hit some people. That has to happen. See, there's a part of you that you know connected to the world. It's not of the world, but it's still in it. And you, I need that washed. And let me just stop here for a second. Most of us have probably never actually had our feet washed by someone else. And for sure, we probably haven't washed someone's feet. You say, well, I have my kids. I'm talking about your neighbor. I'm talking about somebody who I don't really want to even see their feet. So many believe that this whole experience was just a natural act. And there are certain different denominational backgrounds that actually do foot washing. The actual physical act of foot washing. And they do that. And here's what I want to tell you. If you believe that was just a physical act, then we should be doing that periodically just like we do communion. I mean, we ought to do the same. See, we ought to do the same thing. We do communion once a month. We're just going to do foot washing once a month. And you pick who needs it and who doesn't. But yet in our heart, we understand there's something more than the physical here. There's something bigger than this. He's not just modeling something natural. See, that's not what Jesus was doing. He was modeling something supernatural. And he did that all through Scripture. In John 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you got to be born again. And old Nick comes back and says, you mean I got to crawl back in my mother's womb? That's so weird. Nicodemus, don't be stupid. Now, that's not what Jesus said, but it wouldn't have bothered me. I mean, that's ignorant. That's not what he's talking about. No, you don't crawl back in your mother's womb. You're only seeing things from a natural view, a natural standpoint. You're missing the point, Nicodemus. I need you to see the spiritual connotation here. See, many times in the Bible, there's a natural thing used to bring a supernatural point. You getting this? That Jesus was discussing. Nobody here believes that the hand that offends should be cut off. Or the eyes that offend should be plucked out. How do I know nobody believes that? Because y'all got hands and eyes today. I'm not looking out there. You understand he was talking about a spiritual understanding of this. So many, when they only view things from the natural standpoint, they go down a road and they miss what could have happened spiritually if they'd have just taken the time or they'd have been in church to be taught. And today you're in church. And I believe it's to be taught something that you can make applicable to your life. Many times in the Bible, it talks about these things. Jesus is modeling foot washing in the natural, pointing to something supernatural. He says, only your feet, only the unclean part. Your spirit is clean, but you have a conscience and you have a body that's affected by this world, and it's got to be washed. You have feet that need habitually washed. You day in, day out, you got feet that need washed. People in the natural can even get confused here. Even in the natural act of foot washing, we can be confused. John 13, verse 12. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again, sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? And I don't think right then he was looking at anybody but Peter again. I mean, he's talking, everybody's hearing him. But he put his robe on again and he asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash, and then he looks at all of them, each other's feet. Ooh, that's a big one. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I've done to you. So let me ask you this question. Whose feet did Jesus wash? The answer is real easy. It is. The disciples. He washed the disciples' feet. He dried them off. He washed. Whose feet did he wash? He washed. Well, let me tell you about the disciples. They were betrayers, deniers, and forsakers. This is before he'd went to the cross. He washed betrayers, deniers, and he washed Judas's feet, knowing that Judas was getting ready to betray him. He washed Peter's feet knowing Peter would deny even knowing him. He washed the others knowing they would forsake him. You know, the cross, going to the cross. So whose feet did Jesus give as an example that we needed to wash? Ooh, this is getting good. The same ones he washed. people who follow in Jesus, who've let you down, who've betrayed you, who've denied knowing you, and who forsook you. Oh. See, this example that Jesus was setting up, he was doing with his very own, that he knew ahead of time was going to deny him, forsake him, and betray him. Yet when somebody does that to us, the last thing we think about is helping them out based on their connection with the world, washing the area that they messed up. See, we have people who betrayed us. If you're serving Jesus, I'm just telling you, if you're serving Jesus, you'll find yourself right here pouring into people and they backstab you. They get offended, they run off, and then they say something horrible about you when all you were doing was trying to love them. And I'm just telling you, it hurts. It's painful. And I'm not getting you to look at my pain. I'm talking about yours. You've been serving Jesus. You say you're doing something right. And then they just, you're like, what was that for? Why'd they say that? That wasn't right. That was. And that feeling, I understand. But let me just tell you something about that feeling. It's wrong. Because if you're pouring into somebody and you're trying to bless them and you're trying to encourage them and you're trying to do the right thing and you're trying to give them scripture to help them out of their situation, whatever it is, you're doing the right thing. I want you to know that's seed. And even though someone, I've had to learn this, even though someone might stab you right in the back, what I can tell you is that seed doesn't go without producing. It's a God kind of seed. It's a seed that works. And the seed is planted. See, the Word of God works. And when you're planting and you're sowing the Word into people's lives and they get offended and run off, here's what you can always know. God is faithful. And that seed will produce a harvest. And it'll be with him sending someone else. I've just watched it happen time and time again. Offense, not just in the church, I'm talking about in life. Offended, hurt, mad. Yeah. I've got someone right now that's a cousin of mine. I love him with the love of God, but he's claiming to be an atheist. And his last post was, if you want me to keep my atheism to myself, then you keep your religion to yourself. Love you. Seriously, I love you. But you're claiming something that I'm just telling you, all I've done is give you the word. And I turn a knife split. Come on, everybody here has had that happen. Maybe it's on social media, maybe it's just with a friend. But what I want you to do is hang on. Don't give up on the word. It still produces. It still works. And how many of you know, we let people down. I get that. We hurt people. We fail. God's people don't, we don't do everything right. We intend to do it right, but even in the intent, sometimes we mess up. We didn't intend to mishandle that situation, but God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. I didn't even know saying that was going to make them feel, and I didn't know it was going to produce it. And oh, come on, how many know the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak? You've got to apply the word to your life and know the word so that you can still love people that you accidentally, that you didn't intend to, or maybe that you just had a weak moment in the flesh and that weakness allowed you to say something you should have never said. Here's what Jesus said, wash their feet. Wash their feet. Jesus washed their feet. And he said, hey, now you guys need to do that to each other. He knew all their stories. Jesus addressing Peter, you think you know that this is, but this is just the natural thing that happens and you think I'm doing that just to serve you and I'm modeling what leadership needs to do. And all of that's right.
Yeah.
You know, Peter did need to receive. Hey, I'm modeling what leadership does. I get that. And that's pretty much the extent of most people see out of this story. But what you have to understand, Jesus said, you're already clean. You're already clean except your feet. We were not clean, but we got saved and now we're clean. I've already been washed, saved. Revelation 1, verse 5. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We've been washed in the blood. We've been bought. We've been paid for. And when you identify with Christ and you sin, it's quick to come to your attention. See, when you're with Christ, it's quick to come to your attention, just like Peter was with Christ. And when he said something he shouldn't have said, real quick, Christ, Peter. You don't get this right now, but you will. See, when you're with Christ, you're not with your sin. When you occasionally mess up, you realize it and you get it back under the blood. That's the life of a Christian. But when you identify with your sin, and that's what you start living in, and it's a part of who you are, then you're not living paid for. It's like you came back up for sale. It's like you came back up and said, I haven't chose today who I will serve. As for me and my house, I don't even know what we'll serve today. We'll make, right now I'm not going to live paid for. Are you getting this? See, when you're living in your sin, you're not living in your Christianity. Now, I'm not saying you weren't washed. I'm just saying you're living based on the dirt on your feet. Your contact with the world. How many know there are Christians who've messed up? Okay, let's just take it off you for a second. It's easier to think about somebody else. I mean, they've messed up bad, like adultery. But you know that they did that, and you see them in church, and what you can know is they've been forgiven, they've moved forward in life with Jesus, and nobody would call them an adulterer anymore. Praise God. They're not an adulterer anymore. One of the things that I don't like about AA Alcoholics Anonymous is they say once you get out, you're always an alcoholic. And I disagree with that.
Yeah, exactly.
I once was, and I once did that, but here's what I can tell you. Jesus' blood paid for me, and now that's not who I am anymore. That old man's dead, and I'm living a new life in Christ. See, we've been forgiven and living in sin, then you still can be identified with that sin. But when you're not living in that sin, you're not identified as that sin. You're identified as one of Christ. You've been bought, you've been paid for, and your identity is not in the sin, your identity is in Christ. Are you getting? See, that's important that we understand that. And I think prayerfully, as I believe you're getting this, because I see people nodding, a Christian who has been washed and clean, you're a new person in Jesus, occasionally mess up. That's why I call God's people saints who occasionally sin, not sinners, saved by grace. I don't want to leave people in their sin. I don't want to be left in my sin. I want to move to a new place. I want to be different. I want to advance, if you will. Come on, young people. I want to get to a place that I wasn't yesterday, and I'm not going to be the same person tomorrow. We're clean in the eyes of God. John 13:10. He said in verse 10, when you've been washed, you don't need it again all over except for the feet. Boy, I'm belaboring a point for a reason. I don't want you to leave here wondering what I talked about. Foot washing is more than we've ever been taught or told. Jesus is still calling us to allow him to wash our feet. He is still wanting to wash your feet. Jesus is still wanting to wash your feet. Well, Pastor, I've never had anyone wash my feet. You're missing the point. Jesus washed your feet. He washed your whole being by his blood. And now he needs to just wash your feet that get messed up in this world. For you to experience a continual foot washing, he wants to clean up the area that's in contact with the world. Now, with foot washing, you have water. So let's just go a little bit more into this. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, for husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy, or let me use this word, sanctified and clean, washed by the water. Cleansing by the cleansing of God's word. We're right now, as that scripture was going out, you're being washed. See, the word, as it goes, you're washed, you're cleansed by the anointed word of God. And it's not me just waving my hand in front of you. See, it's the word of God as it goes out, it washes. It's all of a sudden, come on, you get to church and it's a lot of work to get here. Come on, I know that. Especially some of you with young children, and especially the day after we lost an hour. It's tough, I get that. But man, I'm telling you, when you sit under the anointing of the word, it's all of a sudden I can walk back out of here and it's like, oh, my feet are clean. Here we go again. Here we go again. All that contact with the world, what so-and-so said to me at work, bless their heart, I need to wash their feet. I need to claim the word. See, your contact with the world has been inundated with so many lies, things to ruin you. The enemy wants you deceived, and he don't want you to receive. And there's a washing, come on, taking place today is the word. John 13 has went out. There's a washing that Jesus did. And every time it's received, you're washed and you get clean again. That's why it's so important to be in the word. Because the word will wash you, get you all fit to go out and do the work of the ministry again. It's the rhema, the spoken word of God that goes, the live word of God. As it goes out, it produces and it acts upon people's lives. And they receive it. And I mean, it's whoa. Every time you speak the word of God in love, you're washing someone else's feet. So let me just stop. You're thinking, well, Pastor, you were doing that. No, the Holy Spirit was doing it through his word. So what you do is, wherever you are, you start learning enough scripture that you can go speak the word over someone else's, because Jesus said, I model this for you, and I'm modeling it in the natural so that you can take the application in the supernatural. When you're putting people down, when you're continually being negative, complaining, griping, I just nothing, you're not spreading the word of God. When you're living in past hurt, sin, frustration, you're not living the Zoe life, because you're not living the God love. And you're not loving others the way God said he loved you. Come on, we don't deserve his love, but we get it. So why can't we give it to someone who doesn't deserve it? We can. But only if you'll receive from God. And that receiving goes two ways. As you learn scripture and you learn more about it, you'll find that it washes you clean and it allows you to go out and not be dirty on your contact with the world. It allows you to share the word. Boy, this foot washing thing's really deep and it's really big, but it allows you to go out and make a difference. Every time you speak the word of God, you're washing someone's feet. John 17, 17, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word. Teach them your word, which is truth. Another word in the New King James, sanctify them. Set them apart. Sanctify them by your truth, the word. Share the word of God under an anointing. Okay, let me tell you what the anointing is. It's called clean feet. Think about this. We ought to be walking in the anointing, not just asking for it when we walk into a situation. How do we walk in the anointing? We allow our feet to be cleaned by Jesus all the time. And as we walk in the anointing, then all of a sudden, we can minister to others the word of God in their circumstances. Well, who are those people? The people who have hurt you, backstabbed you, the liars. Come on, you got to get this, because this will allow us in the kingdom of God to advance the kingdom of God and do our part. After he washed their feet was still connected to the world, but they were clean. Now they're going to go right back out and get dirty. So they got to continually be doing this so that they can get others clean. Yeah. Ephesians 2 says, when Jesus was raised from the dead, you were raised from the dead. See, there's an association with Christ. He made you alive. He seated you in the heavenly places. Did he or did he not? He did, but most people just look at that and they refer it back to salvation. They don't refer it back to how I'm going to live today. Right now, I'm going to live in the heavenly places. I'm going to enjoy that right now. I love that our youth spent an extra hour and a half, not because they had to, they chose to, just enjoying the presence. How about they just get to a place where they can enjoy that all the time? And they don't have to have a bunch of youth or another leader doing it. They just in their home. I love walking in the house, and my wife is generally cleaning something. But she's got worship music going on. Or she's taking care of business. She's doing something. And when I walk in, she's got worship music going on. There's an anointing that comes from spending time with Jesus, with the Lord. It's just awesome. And if you read John, it starts out with Jesus, the Word. The Word was God. The Word is God. As you start looking at John chapter 1, verse 1, you realize real quick, you just spend a time with the Word. I love praise and worship music. We just sing the Word over and over again. If it's not, it's a truth or a promise from it. So, part of you have washed, part of you is clean. And the example Jesus gave of his love for man, to wash the part of man that's still having to deal with the world. His compassion, his love for us is so great that he gave us a new commandment of love. Church, here's what you need to hear today. We've got to help get the dirt off of others' feet. When it says wash others' feet, it's a big deal. And it's so that they can experience what Jesus did for us by allowing Jesus to do it for them. Now, I'm not saying you are Jesus, but you're his representation. You represent him. So you've got to go to a place where you're not okaying sin, but you're helping bring the Word of God to dispel the sin from their lives. Yeah. Now, there will be people who walk away and say, I know you just washed my feet, but I'm not going to have anything to do with you. Judas? We don't give him a lot of credit because we know what he did. But what about the other ones? Peter, you'll deny me 3 times. You're not getting this. He didn't even get it after they walked out of there. There'll be people today that hear this message and don't walk out of here and get their feet washed. I hate that. I wished all of us would. There'll be people that walk out of here and don't wash someone's feet. In fact, they'll get in the car and they'll condemn somebody. Did you see what so-and-so was wearing today? Whole worship team was in black. They probably knew they were taking pictures today. They didn't tell us. I didn't have black on. I identified with you today. All I'm telling you is you're going to have it that's still going to reject, still going to walk away. Jesus does too. They're not going to live in it. They're going to live in their sin. I get all that, but it's never an excuse for not washing their feet. And Jesus didn't use it. He didn't use the excuse. He just washed their feet. You don't model foot washing in the natural. You model foot washing in the supernatural. Did you get that today? It's important that we understand that. It's not a physical act. It's a spiritual act. You speak the word of God. You speak the truth, the Bible says, in love. That's not being rude. That's being factual. Right. The truth of God in love so that they can experience what Jesus did for us, his disciples. Help those who have been made clean. They're saved. Help them get out of the areas that the world's affecting them. How? By the word of God. And that's living it and speaking it. Living it and speaking it. Well, every time I bring it up, my kids just won't listen. You don't understand. I do understand. Jesus understands. They're backstabbing you. They're making fun of you because of how you believe or how you interpret the word. Don't give up. Come on, Jesus didn't give up on you. Don't give up on them. Wash their feet. Wash their feet. Love. Wash their feet. Hopefully at some point they'll quit rejecting that washing. They'll accept it and they'll get out there and be clean enough to where the world's not. Jesus, I need you to wash my feet again because I need the anointing so that I can minister the word. See, that's what foot washing does. It brings you to a supernatural place.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.